The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, thanks for joining us on a Wednesday morning SB Nation Radio as we get ready for another weekend of NFL games and the college football championships. The College Football Playoff Committee releasing its rankings yesterday. They've got Oklahoma at that five spot, right behind Georgia, who's only really holding it unless they can beat Alabama in the championship game. Ohio State is at six, and then everybody else kind of falling in line to see where it goes. You know what I worry about for UCF, though? UCF is a school that we've been watching all year, not from a standpoint of their wins and losses. They throttle their opponents in their conference. But their pronunciation that they are one of the top teams in the country and how the committee was going to view them as they ticked off victory after victory after victory. They are likely, if they beat Memphis, likely heading to the Peach Bowl. And they're likely to play the Florida Gators, who are 9-3. Now, without Mackenzie Milton, I'm going to tell you that's going to be hard to beat Florida. Florida has now found an offense to go with their good defense. It's still a lot of work that Dan Mullen has to do to get that to the elite championship level, but he's done a very, very good job. This is a Florida team that for years, under both Will Muschamp and Jim McElhane, surprisingly under Jim McElhane, that couldn't score. They could not score. And now they're finding an offense where they can move the ball. They run really well. Felipe Franks is an average quarterback, but he's serviceable. But they've got the athletes that they have get used in a big way. UCF has been screaming that they belong to the party. They belong in the party, right? Screaming about this for 2 years. Without their quarterback, they're going to have a hard time beating Florida. Now, if they beat the Gators without him, okay, forgive everything I said about them. But if they lose, is anyone going to hear them scream, "But we were without our quarterback"? Or are people going to say, "Bye-bye, told you, you're not SEC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12 caliber. Thanks, but no thanks." Even though they beat Auburn last year in the same bowl game. Because I think people are dismissive of this school. They're looking for an excuse to do that. But one loss shouldn't do that at all. SB Nation Radio.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver. Many years ago, when I was a young lad, I took time off from radio to work in minor league basketball for 2 years. It was the best of times, the worst of times, to sort of paraphrase Dickens. It was the best of times because it was one of the funnest jobs I've ever had. Working in minor league basketball was an absolute blast. I loved going to work every day. And if you can have a job where you love going to work, it's great. The worst was sometimes the paychecks didn't clear. So you had to run to the bank when you got paid. And it was really, we were young enough that it was okay. We didn't have kids. And I was trying something different with my career. But I got to meet some great people. I learned a ton about basketball. I learned a ton about the business of sports. It was a great experience. But one of the things that always used to frustrate me was you didn't know what the business plan was in terms of how the team was gonna draw fans, right? It was always difficult because I was in media relations and broadcasting. So I would, I would do the broadcasting and then I would do the press releases and I'd create the media guides and all that other stuff. Then I'd coordinate the interviews. And you knew very quickly that even if you had a winning team, right? Even if you were made the playoffs, whatever playoffs you created, people still wouldn't come out because they didn't share the same passion for your minor league team as they did for the local college team or the local pro team. And that became very difficult. So what you would do is you try to create a roster that had familiar faces on it. And I worked for two. I worked for one in Las Vegas and one in Tampa, St. Pete. And we did this both times, which was sign quote unquote stars from the local college that didn't make it to the NBA, but were looking for a gig. And that's what you would promote. But they weren't always the best players. So you would lose with these guys, but people wanted to come out and see them because there would be autographs and they would sign, their Florida Gators or Florida State Seminole memorabilia or their UNLV memorabilia. And that's what drew people into the seats. I know I used to joke that we once had a promotion and when I was living in Vegas, we once had a Pokemon night promotion when Pokemon cards were huge. And we got our hands on a bunch of these. We had to pay money for them, but we got our hands on a bunch of these. And you had to come to the game and you got these packs. And some of these packs had special cards that you couldn't get anywhere else. It was a great promotion, except people would come in. They'd buy a ticket. They'd walk in. They'd get their cards and they'd turn around and leave. I mean, they didn't even want to stay for the basketball game. They just came for the Pokemon cards. So that's the struggles you'd have in minor league basketball. Long story short, you'd sign players that had a local appeal. In the NFL... Even in the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, that doesn't always work. That's not a recipe for success. If you just, brought in everybody that had a local flavor, right? If you were an NFL team and the only thing you did was, like, if you were in Houston and you only signed Texas players or Houston Cougar players or Rice players or Texas A&M players. And the only reason you did it is because that's the only reason people would buy tickets. That's not how it works. You sell tickets because the fan base is passionate and you win games. And you win games with whoever you can to win games. It doesn't matter if they're from Alaska. You use them. They win games. You sell tickets. You fill out. That's how your business model grows. That doesn't always happen in minor league sports. And I bring this up to talk about Blake Bortles. Because Blake Bortles' time in Jacksonville has pretty much come to an end. If Cody Kessler either gets hurt or is a complete disaster, you're not going to see Blake Bortles start again. They have made the decision that they are cutting ties with him. Yesterday, I made the comparison to he's like a loved, want your brother or sister or friend that's dating a really, really kind of a crazy person that's not healthy for them. And you keep telling them that and you're just hoping that they see it for themselves. That's the way Jacksonville was. Remember in 2014 when they drafted Blake Bortles, he was the star at UCF. He led UCF to the Fiesta Bowl. And there was talk about Blake Bortles. Oh, well, he's got this and this going against him going to the pro game. But Jacksonville was looking for a little bit. They were looking for their franchise quarterback. And it also didn't hurt matters that he was playing his college ball down in Orlando. Remember, this is an organization that for years and years and years said to everybody that told them, we're not drafting Tim Tebow. We're not signing him. We're not bringing him in. We don't want him. Right? Why? Because they were trying to remind you of the business plan at the NFL. This doesn't work just bringing in the local kid. Right? If the local kid can't play, the business model doesn't support that. Because remember, people would say, Jacksonville doesn't sell tickets. They should sign Tim Tebow. He'll sell tickets. Jacksonville said, yeah, we'd like to sell tickets, but we need to do it the way other teams are doing it, which is we've got to win games. We've got to build a team that wins games that gets people excited. Because people will only spend $200 on a ticket, $150, $75 for the upper level tickets. They'll only do that if there's something in return. And it can't just be watch the local college star fail at the higher level. That wasn't going to work. And they were right. They were right. But with Blake Bortles, they saw a guy that had some size, had an arm, could play the position. He may have some shortcomings, but man, with the right coaching and the right offensive coordinator, that'll work. Well, Nathaniel Hackett just got fired, and I think it's his third coordinator since he's gotten into the league. Right? This clearly didn't work, but Jacksonville was like, well, you never know. One day he's going to get it. And everybody around the league kept saying this. I've heard the Blake Bortles can't play in the NFL the second he got there, a year or two after he got there. And finally, Jacksonville is seeing it. This is an amazingly tough position to fill. This is an amazingly tough position to scout. Right? How many times have we seen guys at the college level where we say, that's a pro. That guy is going to make it. And they don't make it. They don't make it. And how many times have we seen guys where we say, I don't even know where he went to college. And he becomes a star in the league. Or he becomes a very important player in the league. Right? I mean, if you've heard it once, I mean, how many times have we heard the Tom Brady sixth round story, right? I mean, it's nauseating. But the reason it's brought up is because you just don't know where you're going to get production from that position. You just don't. Remember when Tony Romo came up on the scene and everybody had to Google where he went to college? Because it's like, I don't remember this guy playing in the Big 12. Like, I don't remember this guy playing in the SEC or the Big 10. Right? You had to find, oh, where did this guy come from? Like, and that, sometimes you get guys like that. Sometimes you get guys like that where you go, wow. Right? Carson Wentz is a perfect example. North Dakota kid, right? You scout him based on size, ability, but he wasn't playing anywhere near upper level college competition when he was at North Dakota State. But it didn't matter because you could see a quarterback. Blake Bortles looked like a quarterback. He looked like he could play the position. He looked like a typical pocket passing kind of pro style quarterback, but he couldn't. He couldn't do it. And now, where is he going to go? Probably around, he'll be a backup somewhere. He's got NFL experience, and that counts for something. People, go easy on the he's never going to play again. You all know that's not true. You know that's not true. This league's nuts. Ron, how many quarterbacks have we mentioned in the last couple of weeks that are getting shots to get back into the league?
Oh, no, he'll play again.
Oh, absolutely. There'll be a team that'll go short. Hold a clipboard until we need somebody to hold the position.
I can see him starting again, to be honest with you.
He probably could.
I mean, there's a lot of mediocre quarterbacks playing right now. And I mean, if he was with the Niners, he'd be starting.
He'd be starting. Absolutely. Easily. Again, Nick Mullins is a perfect example of what I was just mentioning. How many people had to go Southern Miss, right? I think maybe I hear because nobody knew. Nobody knew who he was. Right. The next day I said the only reason I knew Nick Mullins went to Southern Miss is because I have a friend of mine who went to Southern Miss and on Facebook kept mentioning Nick Mullins constantly enough to have it seep into my brain. That was the only reason I knew. If I wasn't friends with this guy, I would have had no idea that he went to Southern Miss. This league is weird like that. Look, larger picture on this. Isn't it strange that a position that is so valuable, a position that is so lucrative to the people who play it, we still don't have a gigantic talent pool to pick people out of that can play this position. You would think over the years that how to play NFL quarterback would be ingrained into kids at like 4 years old. And we would just be finding these kids, dime a dozen. We would be training these kids. We would be putting them in systems where you don't want to play in that system. That doesn't get you to the NFL. You don't want to play that kind of system. That doesn't get you to the NFL. But we still, with all of the specialized training that we have, with all of the quarterback camps, with all of the gurus out there who are going out and trying to get people better at this position, we are still asking EJ Manuel to show up for tryouts. We're still trying to figure out if Mark Sanchez can be signed. Right? Everybody who's played any lick of NFL quarterback, we're like, have you ever done this before? Well, I had some failed. Doesn't matter. Failed or success. Doesn't care. Doesn't matter. Have you ever done this before? Well, yeah, but no buts. Did you ever do this before? Yes. Well, then come on in.
Not only that, but we can't even find 32 quarterbacks who we can say are, you know, the best quarterbacks in the on the face of the planet.
On the face of the planet, that's exactly right.
We can't
that's
find amazing. 32. We can find 10, about and we 10, argue about it all the time.
About 10 to 15 is where you go, and that 15 is getting a little bit more liberal, right, in terms of what you're, how you define that.
Yeah,
but that's about it. That's about it.
That becomes like a Marcus Mariota situation where he's in the top 15. He's like,
exactly. I don't trust
good.
Him.
He's good at times. But
he can win games. He can blow games, right. And this is when people tell me about when they see the quarterback salaries. And I go, if you were one of 15 people on the earth that did a job for a multi-billion-dollar organization, how much would you want to get paid?
Yep.
I mean, this isn't a public service. If you had talent that led to the incredible wealth for an organization that was for profit, how much would you want to get paid if you were one of 15 people that could do the job? Imagine if you were an engineer and you worked and you were one of 15 people that could engineer something that was responsible for billions of dollars in revenue. How much would you sell your talent for? 50 grand a year? I doubt it. So when you see a guy like Matt Ryan, even Matt Stafford, for crying out loud, anybody that can get 100 million, whatever it is, 30 million a year, don't cry and scream that this is ridiculous, that they're playing a kid's game. Look at it on the other side. Look at it is that he works for a $1 billion company, or in this case, the NFL, and he's one of 15 people that can do a very, very valuable job. That's how you should look at it. When you look at it that way, it makes more sense. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. So Blake Bortles is out. What will Jacksonville do? We'll talk about that all throughout the show this morning, not just from the NFL standpoint and looking ahead. But coming up, I can't wait to get to this story, the craziest thing I've seen in nature. Next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, we're convenient, and we're known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. That's cool. From professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I normally don't comment on the bumper music, but Ron and I would say this is Puddle of Mud. I think this is called Blurry, is it not?
You are correct, sir.
Okay, I haven't heard this song in a long time. And when I heard this, you know, it conjures up memories.
Yes.
Like you remember. So I remember driving into a radio station I worked at in Denver in the mornings. And I remember this song was playing as I was passing what was then Invesco Field. Now it's called whatever it is. That was probably 2002, 2003. So it was on radio as a hit back then. And I'm thinking, that song is 15 years old. That's a long time.
No, I mean, the sad thing is it's probably making its rounds on classic rock radio
exactly.
now.
Exactly. My God.
Which hurts.
It does hurt. Holy cow. Slow down time, please. Just slow down.
I can't remember the first time I was listening to classic rock radio and... Oh, I'm trying to remember the song, but it was a song that I listened to a lot when I was in high school. And I'm like, there's no way this is classic rock.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. Because, you know, when I was in high school, we would listen. There was a rock station that I, you know, kind of grew up with. That was a really big rock station in Manchester, New Hampshire. And you would listen to it, but you always knew you were listening to your dad's music.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that you knew this wasn't your music. You were listening to Led Zeppelin. You were listening to, you know, all of the classic Fleetwood Mac, The Who, like the classic songs. This was your dad, mom and dad's music from back in the day. So
these were songs you listened to on 8-track.
8-track, right. You would get the 8-track tapes and, you know, whatever it was. And
there's
that's
a small
the
group right now
to.
Going, 8-track, what is
yeah, I know,
it's
right?
8-track?
8-track was cool because you would put the 8-track in, and unlike a cassette, because cassettes didn't do this, you could just hit a button and it would go right to the song that you wanted. So like there would be a series of buttons on the 8-track. So if you wanted song 4, you just pressed in four really tough because it wasn't very easy. You'd put it in, and then it would go to segment four.
You also had to shove that A-track in there,
too.
Oh,
you really did. You had to push it right in there. You had to shove it right in there. My parents had an A-track in the car. It was great. So can you imagine driving around in a car with, like, 10 8-track tapes in the middle between the seat, between the passenger seat and the driver's seat? But those big thick 8-track tapes was crazy. It was nuts.
I mean, nowadays cars still come with CD players. I don't know why.
Oh, I just bought a car 3 or 4 years ago, and the guy said, "All right, yeah, some of the features of this car is a CD player." And I'm like, well, "For what?" Even I at my age was like, "I'm never using that, never." And I don't think I have. I don't think I've put a CD in once in my car.
You used to have to plug in your phone. Now it's just as well Bluetooth. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean,
we're driving with the family
to a CD player.
We're driving with the family to a restaurant last night, and you know, my wife has her phone hooked up to the stereo, wireless. And then my son's like, "Oh, can I play this song?" So we just switch it. It's like, easy as that. No chords, no nothing. I'm like, nothing. Technology is crazy.
It's fantastic.
Had to go get some burgers. Fantastic.
What is scary to me is because I'm not very good, and I'm freely able to admit this. I'm not very good at projecting the future. I know people who are like, "Oh, in 10 years you're gonna be able to think things, and it's just gonna be like." I don't know what the future is going to be, but I am really, really curious as to, like, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what we will laugh about today that we think is awesome.
I want to know what we're gonna have when I'm. When I'm like my father-in-law's age grandfather's age where they grew up in a time where there's no such thing as computers. Like what is going to be our computer?
How would it run? Like, how will it run? Right. Like in terms of how fast it will be, what will it be able to do? What will it anticipate your needs? Like if it sees you consistently doing something, will it just do it for you?
Yeah, are we going to have that? Are we going to have that no one has two TV moments somewhere down the road?
Right. You know what else is interesting is my wife and I were talking about getting a new refrigerator. Because we were like, let's get a new refrigerator. Ours is kind of basic. It doesn't really do much. And we just were looking at some, and I'm like, what does the internet on the refrigerator do?
Yeah.
And I don't know what it does. Like, I've seen them. I want to go shopping for a new refrigerator, but I'm afraid I'm going to get sucked into the vortex of, yes, I'll totally finance this $3,000 refrigerator that I absolutely don't need because it has internet.
Yes.
And I don't know what exactly it does.
It plays music,
right?
You can email a shopping list to yourself. You know, the one I don't really get. There's one that is like a video screen to show you what's inside the refrigerator.
Yes, exactly.
Like, dude, we got to that point. Like, oh, I just can't open the door today.
No.
Let me just hit this button. Oh, look, I knew I was going to be out of milk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
what? Just open the door.
Nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
I feel like Seinfeld there. Just open the door.
If I buy that refrigerator, you tell me to send it back because I don't know if I need it.
You need it.
I totally do. We've had the same fridge forever. And I'm like, it's time to upgrade. We just upgraded a washer and dryer, for crying out loud. I mean, I want it
just because I want to start emailing for my fridge.
Right, me too. I want the fridge talking. You're low on milk. Thank you, fridge. Appreciate it.
He sent like little alerts.
Yeah, I know. Beep. Low on orange juice. I never really liked that kind anyway. Okay, that'll be freaky. I'm afraid of these appliances talking to me though in the middle of the night. I don't need that. I get up really early, and I get ready. I got to come in, do the show, and I don't want the appliances to talk to me at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, okay? Man, I stop at one, when the alarm goes off. When the alarm goes off because you left the door open too long?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I still haven't decided what I wanted, fridge. Give me another minute.
That. No doubt. Oh, no doubt.
You know, I know there was something I wanted to eat in the back of the fridge. I just can't seem to get it because I am too lazy to move stuff around. I need the camera to show me what's inside.
I'm going to go to that X-ray. Store. I think I'm going to go to that store just to browse and ask the questions. What exactly do I need internet on my fridge for? And just see what the answers are.
You got to. And please come
just
back and share.
It. I will totally. Because I have no clue.
I'm just curious what the sales angle would be.
Oh, I know. Totally.
No, next time you're making a shopping list, you could just email it right to yourself. It's like, okay, well, I could take pen to paper.
That's how they did it in my day.
By the way, before you people think, like, you know, I'm playing that, oh, he's got to get a new fridge card. Listen, the refrigerator that my wife and I have, we still have to fill up the ice cube tray. Okay, like, we don't even have, like, an ice cube dispenser in our refrigerator.
That's right?
So that's like, that's old school. That's Stone Age, okay? I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I
want the, you know, dump the thing. We, you know.
I totally get that. We upgraded our fridge when we moved because I was doing the same thing. It was just filling up ice cream tray after ice cream tray. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy a bag of ice.
Yeah, I know. That's what we started doing. We're like, forget this. This is ridiculous. Why are we doing this?
Because you know what? Because there's people in your house, and I know it's not you because I know it wasn't me, but there's people in the house who just, you know, take the ice cubes, put it in there, but never fill
up
the tray.
All the time.
And that was a gripe I had in college. And yeah. So I was like, you know, fine. We're just buying bags of ice, and it's coming out of your allowance.
Exactly. All right. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We'll talk more college football as the committee makes its rankings. Eesh. I feel bad for you, Ohio State. You better show up on Saturday night and, like, win by 100. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio. And if you are having a tough time sleeping, MyPillow has got a great offer for you. Two premium MyPillows for the price of one. If you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WINNER, that's two premium MyPillows for the price of one with the holidays approaching. And you're like, what can I get the people that I love and get myself? Get yourself a better night's sleep. MyPillow is fantastic. I use it and I love it. I used to toss and turn every single night. Now I don't. The pillow has got like a patented foam where it just sort of locks itself together and gives you kind of support with your head, with like keeps it in comfort so that your head stays stable. And if it's in a comfort zone, you're going to fall asleep and stay into a deep sleep rather than having to readjust the pillow all night long because it loses its shape, it loses its comfort. So you wake up because of it and then you reshape the pillow and then you're up and you're not in that deep REM sleep. And that's one of the reasons people are groggy all day is because they've been tossing and turning all night. But with MyPillow, you fall asleep and stay asleep. And that's key. Also, it's made in the USA, backed by a 10-year warranty, and it's 100% machine washable and dryable, but it also works. Try it. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WINNER, that's promo code WINNER, and get two premium MyPillows for the price of one. And especially if you're married, trust me, you're going to need two. Because the moment you're getting a really good night's sleep with your pillow, you know who's going to want a pillow too. It's happening in my house, it will happen in yours, so get the two premium MyPillows, but you only have to pay one price using promo code WINNER at MyPillow.com. All right, so did you hear the news over the weekend? And I know probably kind of skipped some people that Cliff Kingsbury has been fired at Texas Tech out in Lubbock, his alma mater, where he has spent 6 years.
I did hear that rumor.
Yes. So he is fired after three straight losing seasons for the Red Raiders.
Gotta win. Patrick
Mahomes wrote a nice tweet thanking him for all he did while he was at the Texas Tech program. But you know whose phone is blowing up now because of that firing? Cliff Kingsbury. And who's calling? NFL teams. NFL teams are calling because that's all he does is these high-powered offenses, and he knows it really well. And it's the byproduct of the fact that the NFL is now looking at college, high-scoring colleges, and saying, "All right, well, we got to start incorporating a little bit of this in kind of where we're going." I found it interesting because it's like, okay, it didn't lead to wins; it led to three straight losing seasons. But it doesn't matter. His knowledge in a coordinator position at the NFL is going to make it so that he is going to be a hot commodity regardless of the fact that he's unemployed right now. He's not going to stay unemployed for very long. So if you can get if you're in a college program where, you know, 50, 60, how long do you think Lincoln Riley is really going to last at Oklahoma before that young man is going to want to try his chops at the NFL? 5 more years? I mean, maybe he wants to stay at Oklahoma forever. All right. So I don't want to speak for him.
I think it's with every head coach. I mean, you point at Nick Saban.
Yep.
Nick Saban, I mean, you know, perfect example of a guy who, you know, found success in college and then, you know, it's like, I need to take it to the next level. Took it to the next level, didn't find success, went back to college, and now he's a legend.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is you better love recruiting, because recruiting's a pain. Like, you better love it. And if you love it, great. Because some people do. Some people love going into kids' houses and saying, hey, man, they love that. But some people hate it. And if you don't want to do it anymore, or you don't like the grind, you don't like groveling in front of 17-year-old kids to come play for your program, and you know that the NFL is going in a different direction offensively that satisfies your philosophy, yes, you take a chance. Plus, I think if you're a coach in college and you've never tasted the NFL as an assistant, because, you know, remember, you know, Saban he was part of the Belichick tree in Cleveland and whatnot. And he had a taste of the NFL, so he kind of knew what he was getting into when he went to Miami. But if you've never tasted it, you got to know what that's like, right? I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I got to think, if you're a coach in college and you're successful and the NFL comes calling, don't you want to at least see what it's like? Maybe you'll hate it. Maybe you'll quit. Like you said, Nick Saban realized, hey, man, the grass is greener back in college. That's great. And you know that, you know, like, you know, Chip Kelly the same way, right? Go to the NFL, do it for a couple of years. All right, it's a different business. I'm different with dealing with different guys. I'm dealing with men and paychecks, not kids and, you know, working for free. Okay, I don't have as much control as in a pro situation that I do in a college situation. But I think if you're 35 and you're a successful college coach and the NFL comes calling, you got to at least listen and maybe even take a plunge and see what it's like. Because I think you'd want to challenge yourself at all sorts of different levels of coaching.
Yeah, you got to find out.
I think you got to find out. So again, if you're Lincoln Riley, you got to at least give it a whirl. Especially, look, especially if Cliff Kingsbury, and I don't know if he'll ever be a head coach in the NFL. That might be a little too bold. But what if he becomes, you know, like a successful coordinator, and you know you could be that and a head coach at the upper level?
Yeah, I mean, you know, someone similar to what he is. What if he becomes Norv Turner?
Yes.
All right. Maybe he's not built to be a head coach, because obviously Norv Turner's not built to be a head coach, but he's one of the greatest offensive coordinators the league has seen.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, I hated him as the Chargers head coach, and yeah. It was almost a Jason Garrett situation where
right.
Like the guy can, you know, do nothing wrong and still have a job. And then finally it was just like, you know, enough's enough. We gotta move on from you. But he is a great offensive mind.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And you're absolutely, you know, that's right. And that's Cliff King. If it, you know, the system that he's created, you, that kind of bred Pat Mahomes, you see what he's doing now. He's like, God, this guy was completely NFL ready. He's the new NFL ready. People didn't think he was NFL ready because, you know, what we knew of NFL quarterbacks before is becoming archaic.
Part of the Patrick Mahomes problem for me was that I feel like as I've gotten older and I've learned more about this league, the more cynical I become to the, he's going to be great. Like I kind of go, all right, slow down. Let me see first. So when they traded Alex Smith, or they got rid of Alex Smith and they made Patrick Mahomes a starter, my first thought was, all right, well, this is a big gamble. This is all right. I'm
definitely
not sure about this. Like, yeah. What are we doing here? Like one game? Like, all of a sudden, you're willing to throw the whole... This is a team that goes to the playoffs. It was, you know, look, it was embarrassing in a way to lose to Tennessee at home last year in the postseason. That wasn't supposed to happen. So you're going to throw that away, that ability to get to the postseason consistently. And when you get to the postseason, you know, hey, anything can happen. Roll the dice. But you're going to throw that away for a kid who you're not 100% sure can be successful in this league. But they knew he could be. They were confident he could be successful in this league. So my cynicism didn't allow me to go, take a gamble, take a risk, go with the young guy. Yeah, put it all on the line. Because that wasn't a 3-13 team that needed a spark. That was a successful get to the playoffs program organization that was giving that up to take a gamble at Patrick Mahomes. And my God, that paid off incredibly.
It's throwing all your chips
on red instead of consistently betting, you know, small amounts on various numbers.
No, you were in the majority with that. We all felt that, you know, the Chiefs this year, probably at least a 500 team, if not a little bit better.
Yeah.
We never thought that, oh, my God, this team's going to be rolling, marching its way to the Super Bowl. They look unstoppable.
That's interesting. All right, Mike Krzyzewski. I wanted to get to this story. Mike Krzyzewski last night, Duke beat Indiana, and everybody loves Zion Williamson. They love R.J. Barrett. They love Trey Jones. They love their young players. So Mike Krzyzewski said after the game, he said, let's get real about this whole thing. Let's not get spoiled. We've got four 19-year-old kids that are busting their beep to trying to learn how to play and have a lot of pressure on them. I love Mike Krzyzewski a lot. Let's not get spoiled. What fan base in the history of college athletics, maybe outside of Alabama, but even then, has been more spoiled than the Duke Blue Devils? name me one. I bet you can't. It's not even Alabama, because you don't have to go back that far when Alabama stunk. When has Duke ever been god-awful for an extended period of time? Let's not get spoiled. Are you kidding me? Duke has been good for as long as I've watched college basketball, and I watched it as a kid. Are you kidding me? Duke. Give me a break. Spoiled. Mike Krzyzewski led Duke to the NCAA Final Four and championship game against Louisville in 1986. In 1986, and they have been good ever since. Oh, there were a couple of years where he had the back issue and they were not good and whatnot. But those are like anomalies. Let's not get spoiled. You have the most spoiled fan base in all of sports. All right. Patriots dynasty, got nothing on Duke. Alabama, got nothing on Duke. Steelers, got nothing on Duke. Right? I mean, come on. If you went to Duke or a Duke fan, you've gotten this every year forever. Forever. Let's not get spoiled. I love it. I hope he said that tongue in cheek, because he knows better than that. I keep bringing up this statistic, and it really kind of, young people don't, because they grew up in the one and done era, so they can't really put their mind around the fact that people used to stay all 4 years in college basketball. I tell people Christian Laettner went to four Final Fours, and it was every year he played at Duke. Every year he played at Duke, he went to a Final Four. And, to top it off, went to three national championship games and won two. You ain't going to find a better college career than that, folks. And that's all Duke. I mean, I remember my freshman year at college, ACC was on Jefferson Pilot, Raycom, whatever it was. We used to get the local ACC game of the week. I watched a lot of Duke basketball back in the Laettner-Hurley days. And that was crazy even then. I had two friends of mine from high school that went to Duke. They still brag about Duke, right? All the time. Let's not get spoiled. It's one of the reasons Duke is one of the most hated programs, too. It's one of the reasons why its brand, like the Yankees, are hated, too. But even the Yankees haven't had a run over the past 30 years like Duke has. Nope. There were plenty of bad Yankee years in that stretch.
Maybe
Duke's been fantastic.
Can we throw the Montreal Canadiens back in the day?
Maybe back in the day. You know what's funny about Duke? If you do a, if you just like grab an Excel sheet or even forget it, if you just look it up. If you look up the Final Four participants for the last, since 86, you'll find Duke in the Final Four where you totally forgot about them because they didn't play in the, they lost in the semifinals, didn't play for the national. You'll find a whole bunch of Duke teams that went to the Final Four, disappeared quickly, but that was it, right? Because the focus was really on the champion. That was their year or whatever it is. When you do it, you'll just go, oh, got to be kidding. The success is nauseating. And you know what? Because listen, I went to South Carolina. South Carolina has no basketball program, none. I mean, terrible basketball. But the 2 years ago when they went to the Final Four, they beat Baylor and Florida at Madison Square Garden in New York to get to Phoenix for the Final Four. But in order for them to get to Madison Square Garden, they beat Duke. And it's one of the greatest victories I've ever had with any team I've rooted for in all of the teams that I've rooted for. Beating Florida to get to the Final Four, I mean, that just takes the cake right there. But nevertheless, beating Duke is one of the greatest wins my school has ever had in any sport. I mean, basketball included. And they beat Alabama 1 year. So, I mean, that just goes to show you the power of the brand of the Duke Blue Devils. So, Mike Krzyzewski, well said. Let's not get spoiled. Good luck with that. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D and Ron Culver at SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM,
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Maximum Arthritis Cream, both deep penetrating and odor-free, so beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue Emu, it works fast so you won't stink. Available at nationwide retailers. Coming up next hour, we actually have a cool guest. He's a bullfighter. Is that not a bullfighter? He's a bull rider. I'm sorry. Why was I thinking bullfighter? Was it Ernest Hemingway?
I said that to you off air earlier.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah,
bullfighter. No,
hey,
no, not
maybe
a bullfighter.
Fought
bull
a bull.
Rider.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Could have fought a bull.
Ole! I have to ask this question to him. Is it 8 seconds or 7 seconds that you're on a bull? It's 8 seconds. Okay.
Well, that's what you're supposed to try to stay out of.
Sean Willingham is the bull rider that we're going to be talking to. He's made over $1 million in his career riding bulls.
He should be making more.
He should be. Are you kidding?
I mean, how much insurance?
That's a dangerous job.
How much insurance does he have to pay each year?
I know. But you know what I'm going to ask him? This is the question I'm going to ask him, because I know you and I have talked about this before. When I started in radio years ago, I got to a point, I used to run a board, and we used to put in carts, right? So we would have to shove in a cart, like a 30-second cart. And then a lot of times you'd have to go run to the back room to go do something, like change a satellite real quick. So you would have to go play the cart, and then you'd run, and then you'd push some buttons, and then you'd have to run back, and then the cart would end. So you got to learn what 30 seconds was. So you got to learn what a minute was and what you could do in a minute. So I want to ask him, does he know how long 8 seconds is? Like, when he's on a bull, does he know
that he's less than 8 seconds?
He's not counting, right? Like, he's not in his head riding the bull going 1,001 with that. But does he know?
And he doesn't have a coach, like,
right,
in his ear going 1,000,
exactly.
Two, or
right.
Mississippi.
No. But does his mind know how long 8 seconds is? Like, I've been on this bull. I'm done. I'm done in a half a second. I'm done in a second.
He's got to.
Because he's got to, right? I mean, all the times you ride a bull, you got to know when you probably have that down where you know at a certain point I'm off. I'm going to win. I'm going to succeed with this, or I'm out. The scariest part, I think, is when the bull throws you immediately. You ever see those where the rider's on and they go open the thing, and as soon as the bull enters, he throws the rider off and then goes crazy.
Now, I'll be honest with you. The scariest part would just be, you know, slapping on the gloves. What am I thinking right now?
Exactly. You ever been to a rodeo?
Yes.
They're fun.
Aren't
they?
In Texas.
Yeah, of course. They're fun, man. You see the guys on the horseback doing the announcing? Y'all know this next here cowboy is Johnny Goodwin. But around here this year, Parts, we call him Danger Boy. Go, Danger Boy. And then he comes out and he gets thrown from the bull immediately. Rodeos are a blast. They are really fun. I kind of miss them. I kind of go to one now. We'll have that for you coming up next hour, as well as the NFL's real conundrum involving Reuben Foster and the other person we don't name. That's next.